Rural West Virginia, the real one and the one of a writer's imagination, is the setting for tonight's last story. Breeze Pancake lived, wrote, and died alongside his fictions in the craggy, wild Appalachian landscape. Breeze Pancake committed suicide at the age of 26 in 1979. He was known to create his own mystique about his beginnings. He passed himself off to some as a mountain man-child, with disdain for the privileged classes he encountered at the University of Virginia, Charlottesville. When the Atlantic Monthly was planning to publish one of his short stories, it mistyped his middle name as D'J instead of Dexter in its proofs. Pancake was so amused and taken that he adopted the new middle name as his own and added another layer to his aura. The stories of Breeze D.J. Pancake were first published in 1983 and have never gone out of print. Pancake's fiction was proud, sad, and lonesome in its lean depictions of crude lives, words, and situations in Appalachia. A new edition of his fiction has just been published, and Martha Woodruff from member station WMRA explores the writer's stories and short, enigmatic life.
In 1975, Breeze Pancake, tall, blonde, swaggering around in jeans and cowboy boots, showed up at the University of Virginia with a bachelor's degree in one pocket and a sheaf of stories in the other. Pancake told anyone he could buttonhole in the genteel halls of UVA that he was looking for the company of other writers. The pitch and rhythm of his voice announced he was from the hills of West Virginia. National Book Award winner John Casey had just begun teaching in the creative writing department.
He left a note in Peter Taylor's box asking would Peter read some stuff, and Peter had just hired me as his junior colleague, and junior colleagues are for reading stuff that's put in your box. So I read the things, and they it was sort of a test, because Breeze didn't give me the best stuff. It was like to see if I said it. And so he came in, and I said, well, you know, what I thought, and whatnot. He said, oh, well, I've got some more. I said, okay, I'll look at another one. And then that was really good, really good. And I said, you ought to get an MFA.
Others evidently agreed with Casey's assessment of Breeze Pancake's potential as a writer. The University of Virginia awarded him a prestigious fellowship. The Atlantic Monthly bought his stories. Both The New Yorker and Doubleday solicited work. Writing in the New York Review of Books in 1983, Robert Towers praised Pancake's ability to recreate in sharp and memorable detail the West Virginia landscape, a landscape that serves as a metaphorical equivalent for the lives of his characters, most of them trapped, crippled, or obsolete. John Casey reads the opening of Pancake's story, Hollow.
Hunched on his knees in the 3-foot seam, Buddy was lost in the rhythm of the truck mine's relay. The glitter of coal and sandstone in his cap light, though setting and lifting and pouring. This was nothing like the real mine, no deep tunnels or man trips, only the setting, lifting, pouring, only the light flash from caps in the relay. In the pace he daydreamed his father, lowering him into the cistern. Many summers ago, he touched the cool tiled walls, felt the moist air from the water below, heard the pulley squeak in the circle of blue above. The bucket tin buckled under his tiny feet, and he began to cry. His father hauled him up. "That's the way we do it," he laughed, carrying Buddy to the house. This is one of the ones he did write in one of the classes that he took. Actually, this is one of the bleaker ones. I remember Breeze's mother not liking the way the reviewers, who all raved about the book, but they concluded that Breeze had grown up this way, you know, and you know, poor and barefoot and so on and so forth. And I mean, he hadn't really. I mean, he'd gone to college, for God's sake. But he certainly had seen this life.
The lives Breeze Pancake saw around him growing up were certainly hard, scrabble, and bleak. There's not much to do in Pancake's hometown of Milton but drive through it. The gradual widening of Route 60 obliterated the old downtown, leaving the bank derelict, the train station gone. It's the common fate of many small West Virginia towns, suggesting perhaps that if you're going to live in these rough mountains, it's important to have a way out. On Saturday afternoon, Granny Kay's, one of Milton's few restaurants, is all but deserted.
Do you know who I am in the book?
No.
I'm Chester the Shithouse Mouse. who got out while the getting was good.
Robert Jackson was a childhood friend of Bree's Pancakes. He inspired Chester, a character in Pancake's story, The Salvation of Me.
I got through life a lot easier than Bree's did. Probably because I wasn't as smart. I don't know. Things didn't... I chose to compromise a lot more than Bree's did. Bree's was not going to compromise what he knew was the right, true, good way. And there was only one way for Bree's, and we all know that as we mature, if we are going to live a halfway normal life, that there are compromises that you make along the way to make life a little more simple.
If Bree's Pancake grew inflexible as he got older, he also grew increasingly curious about everything. He's remembered as hunting for fossils in the hills around Milton and reading voraciously. Tony Reese is the retired town librarian.
I watched Bree's grow up.
Looking back, she can see that even as a child, Bree's Pancake was storing up facts for later use in his fiction.
He always said, save that Sports Illustrated for me. And I said, you can have it. You just take it and take care of it, and you can give it back to me. And he wanted it about the cockfighting of chickens. And that's where one of his stories is from.
Pulitzer Prize winner James A. McPherson was another of Pancake's teachers and friends at the University of Virginia. McPherson remembers his former student as a relentlessly independent young man, desperate to make friends, yet flaring up at those who befriended him, particularly when he drank too much, and always working to get the words down on the page just right. James McPherson.
Whatever he was unique. And it says something about how once in a while, as a teacher, you're able to touch people who have that kind of gift.
What do you think is his best work?
I like Trilobites. It captures this sense of ancient history, what that valley was before it was colonized. It captures a sense of nature and its relationship to nature. This is from Trilobites. He's talking about Pop. I look again at the spot of ground where Pop fell. He had lain spread-eagled in the thick grass after a sliver of metal from his old wound passed to his brain. I remember thinking how beaten his face looked with prints in it from the grass. I reach a high barn and start my tractor, then drive to the knob at the end of our land and stop. I sit there, smoke, look again at the cane. The rows curve tight, but around them is a sort of scar of clay, and the leaves have a purplish blight. I don't wonder about the blight. I know the cane is too far gone to worry about the blight. You see what I'm trying to say? He doesn't want to be a farmer, take care of the land, but every aspect of nature is in his consciousness. It's like something almost Grecian.
On April 8th, 1979, Bree's DJ Pancake sat down in a backyard lawn chair, stuck an over-under shotgun in his mouth, and pulled the trigger. His suicide made no real sense to anyone, then or now. At the time of his death, this 26-year-old man from Milton, West Virginia, was, by almost anyone's standards, on his way to blazing literary success. And by all accounts, what Bree's Pancake wanted most was to make his living writing about the things he'd grown up in Milton pondering. The mythic hardship of the life he saw around him. The obligations of fiercely held moral convictions. His own and everyone else's craving for the elusive comfort of connection.
There's an old blues song. I've got the blues, but I'm too damn mean to cry.
Again, James McPherson.
And I felt that whatever was bothering Bree's, he was too much centered in his own way of resolving things to ask for help. and probably, rather than violate the persona he had created for himself, he chose his own way out of whatever trouble he might have been in. I just don't know. But I wish he'd call somebody. I wish he'd call somebody.
The stories and the story of Brees DJ Pancake burrow into people like a personal sorrow. Andre Dubuse III ends his afterword to the new edition this way. Yes, this is Brees DJ Pancake's first and last book. But the 12 stories in this collection will surely endure, will continue to illuminate that deeper, darker part of us all. Our insistent need to love and be loved. Our flesh and blood fallibility. Our eternal yearning for grace. For NPR News, I'm Martha Woodruff in Charlottesville, Virginia.